Here in Genesis 35, we're reading of the grace of God in saving Jacob and his family from what seemed like certain destruction from the surrounding tribes after they'd behaved so foolishly in Genesis 34 when Simeon and Levi had gone mad in Shechem and massacred the whole town, really, killed all their men in a horrible thing they did, getting them to be circumcised, kidding them that, yeah, on that basis, we'll let you into covenant with us, and while they're still sore and weak from circumcision, they come and attack them and kill them. And now Jacob says, well, all these other surrounding tribes are going to hear that. This was absolutely unacceptable. They're much bigger than us. They're going to kill us. And he throws himself upon God's grace. And so he says in verse 2, to all his household, put away the foreign gods that are among you. So quite clearly, the Jacob family were still worshipping idols. You think of how Rachel steals the teraphim from her father and takes them with her. They were very, very connected with idolatry. And when you look at various incidents in the life of Jacob, particularly when he's with Laban and his two wives, some of the names those kids are given, the whole thing about the ring-streaked and the speckled. He clearly was involved in pagan fertility rites and so forth. But now that he needs God's grace, absolutely, or else he's going to die, as he felt, you know, we deserve death now, he throws himself on God's grace and says, let's throw away all our idols. And he says, purify yourselves, change your garments, and probably the clothes were to do with pagan rituals. By the way, according to how I read the chronology, Joseph would have been a child at this time, and he would have seen this. And he, of course, later had to do this when he's called to leave prison and go before Pharaoh. It's funny how circumstances repeat in your lives. So the point I want to make is that when he needed grace, absolutely radical grace from God alone, he realizes we must quit our idolatry. There is therefore a contrast pointed up between idolatry and the grace of Yahweh. And Jonah realizes this when he's in the fish's belly, or the great fish that was a creature that was created to swallow him. He says, those who worship vanities, and he means idols, forsake their own mercy or their own grace. So idolatry is the opposite to grace. Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the only God who is a God of grace. All the idols were harsh. It was all very legalistic. You do this for the idol or for the deity, and he or she shall do this in response. And likewise, there is no ultimate grace in this very hard world in which we live. In one sense, although you can see the cup half empty or the cup half full on this, in one sense, maybe looking at it, the cup half empty, but this world is absolutely lacking in any grace. It is, no matter what veneer is put over a society by a culture, in the end, there is no grace. There is no kindness in the face of strangers. There is no ultimate grace in all the ways of idolatry, which you may choose. If you choose to follow an obsession with your career, with sex, with getting wealth, or whatever it might be, whatever obsession or addiction becomes your idol, there's no grace there when you finally need it. And of course, we need it every moment of our lives. So what was unique about Yahweh was his grace. And this is why when he reveals himself to Moses and declares his name, and his name is essentially his character, his grace is up there as the lead characteristic of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so he says, verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel. I'll make there an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way in which I went. Now that's when he had said to God, when he's fleeing from Esau, if you will be with me and return me to my homeland, then Yahweh shall be my God. I think he's coming to this point where he recognizes that in the day of distress, which is the same word as trouble in the day of Jacob's trouble, he had been saved by grace, and only God shows grace. Now, this is the hugely attractive thing that is there in grace, that only God has grace. And he says in verse 7, he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, the God of Bethel, because there God was revealed to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And that word for revealed, God was revealed to him, Yahweh was revealed. It's the same word that is used in the phrase in the AV to uncover nakedness. In fact, it is used quite often in the Pentateuch to mean to expose naked, to denude. And this is a shocking idea. It is a radical idea, because there God was denuded. There God was made naked. I mean, we quiver a little bit to state this because it seems so inappropriate. But that is without doubt what that Hebrew word means and how it is used elsewhere. It's a shocking idea that God made himself naked, that God revealed himself to Jacob. And how? By showing him his radical grace. That is the essence of God. And the more you perceive that, this pure gift, not on the basis of manipulation, not on the basis that if I give you this, you shall do this for me, or you are obligated forevermore to do this, that, or the other for me. No, this pure gift, this pure desire to save and love for the sake of it, it is this which is the supreme parade characteristic of Yahweh God of Israel. And if you perceive that, then quite naturally, there will be no idols in your life, but he alone will become the essence.